But there's no sense crying over every mistake. You just keep on trying till you run out of cake. And the science gets done and you make a neat plan for the people who are still alive.
Alright everybody, and welcome to
Teller of the Tales
Season 3.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah. You know what this means, don't you?
No.
We are officially the second oldest to sing it.
Really?
Yeah. Well, sing it's 10. No one's actually gone past 3 yet.
Yeah, but we didn't exactly wait long enough between season 1 and season 2.
Well, you know what? It still counts. Because sing it did that the whole time. Do you think Dylan's barely been doing this for 10 years? Really? No. I doubt it.
Jeez.
You see, it still counts. It still counts. Still counts. Okay, so... Alright, so we are back, right?
Yes.
And we are coming back with a vengeance. We're coming back so vengeancely, I think we can tell you what we're going to be doing this season. It's going to be awesome.
This season is going to be really exciting. I think it's going to have a nice... It's going to have a refreshing twist.
Yes.
I think it's going to be fun.
Should we tell them what the season's going to be about?
I think we should. Well, fine. You can tell.
Yay, I can tell! All right, you guys. We're going to be doing fan fiction. Yes.
This whole entire season's going to be centered around
so
fan fiction.
So everybody who wins...
Subpar Dylan's suggestion.
Yes.
Off
of people's suggestions. And you know what? We take them into consideration and we do them.
It's exciting, though. Like, yes. Just imagine all the possibilities of stories.
Also, there's another twist this season, too, as well. Would you like to tell them that?
A twist?
Yes.
Oh, I already know the twist.
Okay.
I should impart my knowledge.
Please do.
Basically, what we're planning on, hopefully I get this right and I don't, like, completely screw up live on air.
Well, if you do that, then you just welcome to my world.
Well, anyway, so for every single week, if you win... That week, you get to choose the theme for next week. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, we'll give you 24 hours to give us a theme for a fan fiction storytelling. So, like, it could be anything from, like, Harry Potter to Hitalia. If you really want to torture people, you know, My Immortal, Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Well, I would say keep from less specifics to just...
Yeah, to general broad areas. But My Immortal is so vast.
And everybody else, My Immortal, because she wants it. Whoever does My Immortal, be her hero.
I just think it's a fun theme.
Because every other word's coming out of her mouth. My Immortal, My Immortal.
Zane. And the other thing is that we're also doing away with immunities.
Yes.
We think that you guys now understand what the show is about. So.
And you guys don't like doing immunities.
Well, some of them did.
Well, some of them do it, but then you got the other people who don't do it, and then you have those people who do it, and you kind of get all the doo-doos. I said doo-doo. I'm showing my less side here. So, before we get out of here, out of hand here, do you think we should move on to the first person tonight?
I guess. Who's our first person up?
The first person up tonight is Stratofarius, so take it away whenever you're ready.
Every Who, down in Whoville, liked Christmas a lot, but the Grinch, who lived just north of Whoville, did not. The Grinch hated Christmas, the whole Christmas season. Now, please don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason. It could be perhaps that his shoes were too tight. It could be his hat wasn't screwed on just right. But I think that the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was 2 sizes too small. Whatever the reason, his heart or his shoes, he stood there on Christmas Eve, hating the Who's, staring down from his cave with a sour Grinchy frown at the warm lighted windows below in their town. For he knew every Who down in Whoville beneath was busy now hanging on Hollywood Reef. And they're hanging their stockings, he snarled with a sneer. Tomorrow is Christmas, it's practically here. Yeah, he growled. We Scrooge figures never sleep, Drummy. I must find some way to keep Christmas from coming. For tomorrow, they know all the girls and boys. We'll wake bright and early to rush for the toys. And then, oh, the noise, oh, the noise, 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 noise. There's one thing I hate, all the noise, 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 noise. Then the Who's, young and old, will sit down to a feast. And they'll feast, and they'll feast, and they'll feast, 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 feast. They'll feast on Who Buddy and Rare Who Roast Beast. Raw Roast Beast is a feast I can't stand in the least. And then they'll do something I hate most of all. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, they'll stand close together with Christmas bell ringing. They'll stand hand in hand, and those Whos will start singing. And they'll sing, and they'll sing, and they'll sing, sing, sing. And the more the Grinch thought of this Who Christmas sing, the more the Grinch thought, I must stop the whole thing. Why, for 53 years I've put up with it now. I must stop Christmas from coming. But how? Then he got an idea. An awful idea. The Grinch got a wonderful, awful idea. I know just what to do, the Grinch laughed in his throat. I'll make a quick Santa Claus hat and a coat. He chuckled and cuckled. What a great glitchy trick! With his coat and his hat, I'll look just like St. Nick. Then he loaded some bags and some old empty sacks on an unshackled sleigh, and he whistled for Max. Then the Grinch said, "Giddy up!" And the sleigh started down toward the homes where the Whos lay snooze in their town. All their windows were dark. No one knew he was there. All the Whos were all dreaming sweet dreams without care. Now he came to the first little house at the square. "This is stop number one," the old Grinch Claus hissed, as he climbed to the roof, empty bags in his fist. Then he slid down the chimney, a rather tight pinch, but hey, if Santa could do it, then so could the Grinch. He got stuck only once, for a minute or two, then he stuck his head out of the fireplace, foo, where the little Who stockings hung all in a row. "These stockings," he grinched, "are the first things to go." Then he slithered his luck, with a smile most unpleasant, around the whole room, and he took every present. Popguns, bambugas, bantukas, and drums, checkerboards, bizzlebigs, popcorn and plums. And he stuffed them in bags. Then the Grinch, very nimbly, stuffed all the bags one by one up the chimney. Then he snuck to the icebox. He took the Who's feast. He took the Who pudding. He took the roast beast. He cleaned out the icebox as quick as a flash. Why, that Grinch even took the last can of Who hash. And he stuffed all the food up the chimney weakly. "Now," grinned the Grinch, "I will step off the tree." As the Grinch took the tree, as he started to shove, he heard a small sound like the coo of a dove. He turned around fast, and he saw a small Who. Why, little Cindy Lou Who, was no more than two. She stared at the Grinch and said, "Santa Claus, why? Why are you taking our Christmas tree? Why?" But you know, that old Grinch was so smart and so slick, he thought up a lie, and he found it up quick. "Why, my little sweet toot," said the fake Santa Claus lied. "There's a light on this tree that will light one inside. So I'm taking it home to my workshop, my dear. I'll fix it up there, then I'll bring it back here." And he still fooled the child. Then he patted her head, and he got her a drink, and he sent her to bed. And when Cindy Lou Who was in bed with her cup, he crept to the chimney and stuffed the tree up. And we have up the chimney himself, the old liar. And the last thing he took was the log for the fire. Why, under walls he left nothing but hooks and some wire. And the one speck of food that he left in the house was a crumb that was even too small for a mouse. And he did the same thing to the other Who's houses, leaving crumbs much too small for the other Who's mouses. "What happened then? Please, we detail. Michael, finish telling us this Grinchy tale," I said. "My time may be up, but I won't fail. I shall continue this story in The Teller of Tales."
Alright, so Stratifarius. I actually really liked this one. This was really fun one to listen to. I left a comment. On, I have to say, this sounds like a kid high on caffeine. That is really, really what this feels like. It feels like a little kid trying to tell a story and going like, "Yes, this is what happens, this, and this, and this, and this, and this," and like just seeing them jump all over the place. It is, was absolutely fun just to listen to. To be honest with you, I really liked it. I got maybe some issues with the enunciation. Other than that, I mean, the energy was totally there for this, and it was just, it came out really good.
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my gosh, your energy was like everywhere. You were hilarious. I loved the emphasis you put on some certain words, like the Grinch hated Christmas. And I was like, oh my gosh, it made me jump. It was fantastic. I love the ending with what you did. Like, you rhymed it too. I was like, oh my gosh, I totally see what you did there. It just made me really excited to listen to this. It was really fun. A little tiny bit of issues. I think mostly your two biggest issues were like just like rushing a bit and enunciation, but I don't really, they weren't big enough. Like, you know, I still heavily enjoyed listening to this. I think you should, this is good. I'm excited. Yay.
So I got nothing else left to add to this.
Nope,
but
nothing
good
left.
Job.
Yay.
So you get to find out later
this
on.
This submission made me all excited, like more.
All right. Up next, we have Dylan Collins. Take it away whenever you're ready.
All right, this is my audition for Teller of Tales Season 3. I'm going to read a fanfic, so I thought I would also read the author's notes. Hi, Blugs. This is my new fanfic. I like it. Took me forever to write. Comment it, please. Thankies. This is called Sailor Apotheria by King of Pimps 911. Kitty Smiley Face Sailor Appa. In the small town of Wrightville lived a normal teenager. Well, 23-year-old called Apotheria or Papotheria, as he is known to his best friend, the kind of man. Sometimes he's called Beardist Maximus because of his manly beard. It was a new day, and Apotheria was late for high school. Yeah, he was kept back a few years. Oh no, I'm late! Apotheria yelled as he ran down the stairs. His mother, Alana, was cooking breakfast for her husband, Koichi Saito. Mom, why didn't you wake me up? Apotheria cried as he triked down the stairs. His mother, Alana, sighed. I did, Appa, like 23 times, and every time you just mumbled to me, no more rocks! I can't eat another bite, Jesus! Mr. Koichi Saito sipped his tea and pointed at the clock. Apotheria let out an anime gasp and then whizzed out the door as fast as he could. I'm going to be late! I'm going to be late! I'm going to be late! Suddenly he stopped, hearing a yelp from a dog. Apotheria loved dogs, so he couldn't help the poor canine in need, and because he was a furry. Two boys from kindergarten called Zane and Dizzy were dressing up as poor... Two little boys from kindergarten called Zane and Dizzy were dressing up a poor little doggy in a ballet outfit. The doggy kept squealing and whelping. The doggy also had a green apple sticker on its forehead. Apotheria ran over to the boys angrily and shouted, "Hey, you! Stop picking on that little doggy!" The little boy suddenly ran away, scared of this stranger with a manly beard. Apotheria knelt down and looked at the poor little doggy and took off the ballet outfit. Although he did think it looked cute on it. He then noticed the green apple sticker on the dog's forehead and took it off the dog. On the dog's forehead, there was a moon symbol. Apotheria tilted his head in confusion. The doggy looked up at Apotheria and barked happily. Apotheria pet the dog, and then his watch beeped. "Wah! I'm late! I'm late!" he shouted, running away towards the school. The dog sat there happily and thought, "This guy is the guy I'm looking for. Bam!" Apotheria ran into school. He was just on time and sat down in his seat, breathing heavily in and out. "Wow, you look hot," a voice said. Apotheria looked round, seeing that it was his best friend, the kind of mad.
"Yeah, I've been working out."
The kind of mad stood there and stared at Apotheria. "Oh, that's not what I meant." Suddenly the teacher came in. It was Mr. Gold.
"Good morning, students," he said.
"Good morning, Mr. Gold," they all replied. Mr. Gold took some sheets out of his suitcase and smiled.
"I have the results from the pop quiz."
Apotheria's head hit the desk and he sighed. Mr. Gold put the paper on his desk and said,
"See you after class."
Apotheria looked at the paper and his eyes widened.
"No, I got a 10%. How was I supposed to know that Fernando song was ABBA's world hit in 13 countries worldwide? That's a trick question," he shouted. "Dancing Queen was way betterer."
All the class turned and looked round at Apotheria. Apotheria laughed nervously and then flexed.
So Silence of the Lambs?
Time went by, and it was the end of school. Apotheria ran out of the school, dodging his teacher, Mr. Gold.
"Yes, I gave him the slip," Apotheria said.
He took his paper out of his bag and looked at it.
"What's Mom gonna say when she sees this? She will whip me and chuck me off for sure this time." He then scrunched it up. What she doesn't know can't hurt her, I guess. Or me, for that matter.
He then threw it behind him, hitting a pigeon, which then bounced off a car, which caused an accident, and then hit a girl walking on the pavement near Appa.
Hey!
The girl shouted. She looked at the paper, which landed on her head, and laughed.
10%!
She snorted. Apatheria stopped and froze like a frozen ice cube of cubeness. Shiver went down his spine, and he looked round and saw it was the British-French exchange student Monty, with her two friends Valk and Rochelle. And if you want to know the rest of the story, you will have to cast me on Teller of Tales Season 3. Thank you for listening in to my audition. I hope you guys liked it.
Oh my gosh. This was hilarious. I wasn't expecting this at all. Wow. Like, when he said, like, fanfiction, Zane, what, like, did you just think, like, I just thought he pulled something off fanfiction.net. So when he was, like, reading, I was like, oh my gosh. Like, and I'm sitting here, like, he's laughing in his recording, and I'm like, oh, he's laughing at this poor author who wrote this. And then I started seeing what was going on, and I was like, oh, I see what you did there. Oh my gosh, it was so good. I loved it. His voice acting, his pacing. I want to know what happens to the story. It is so good. What did you think?
it was good. It was actually kind of funny, especially when he was cracking up right in the middle of it. It's just like he couldn't keep a straight face from it.
He was having fun with it. Yeah. You know it. And
that's the one thing, that he was having fun with it, and it did come through that he was having lots of fun with it. Like,
I think, like,
it's kind of like the same thing with Stratovarius. He was having pretty much a freaking blast with that story,
yeah.
And it showed on it, and this one showed too as well. And you know what? This is a pretty much as good as the first one.
I think so, yeah. It's just, I think that people don't realize how much of a difference it makes if someone's really having a blast with it. Because if you're having a fun time with what you're doing, we're obviously going to have a fun time listening. And
yeah.
I know I had a blast listening to this, so.
Also, it's a fan fiction, so of course it's going to be hilarious.
Well, yeah, I'm excited to see how he does with this whole entire season as a whole.
Yeah, unless he drops again.
Please do not.
But
do that.
I don't think he will drop again.
I don't think
again,
he will.
Though.
I think there was some stuff that happened last time that just got out of hand. But Dylan, I know, rarely drops shows, so I think.
But if Dylan drops again, we're gonna harass him about it, though.
Yeah,
we're gonna harass him so much, so.
Alrighty, so who's next?
Alright, so up next, we have Temporary Butterfly!
The Day the Music Died. Short story. Glasses swirled. The old monk rested. Mixed with soda and ice cubes, it waited patiently for its date with his senses. It wouldn't be long. Fingers were busy. It was not every day that they found themselves handling a cigarette with cliched style. Half done, thought the brain, unaware that the real deal was to come from the last two puffs. It was a day of surprises. Surprise for the body and for the mind, both of which stood powerless, watching as he plunged into simulation for the first time. Quarung smiled. He felt like a consultant today. Halfway through his box, he watched as Capo puffed enthusiastically on Will's Classic, a brand that Gowrung almost considered family. Niraj guzzled his beer, intending to drown the irritation felt by being teased on the fact that his cigarettes were menthol-flavored. Nikhil sat at 45% to Capo, his hands firm on the hookah pipe, his eyes fixed, happily toying with the scene of a so-called saint still having succumb to these kings of stimulation. Breathing slowed. Deep inside, the smoke was starting to do its thing with the mind. Three rabid puffs had done the trick. The head warmed instantly. This was too good to waste. Numbness deepened as he took another two rapid puffs and reclined with eyes closing slowly, absorbing it, maximizing it, leaving whatever was doing the trick distractionless. This was real. This was good. The mind was clear now. akin to a healthy horse standing perfectly, ready to be used with utmost efficiency. Willpower was at his feet. Time had slowed down. An era ended as he sadly crushed his stick in the tray. The real thing was yet to come. Lips smiled thankfully as they touched black water wavering silently in a long, chic glass. The smile was short-lived. Taste buds yanked as the dark, bitter tonic fought its way down the throat. He had been pre-warned. He was surrounded by experts playing Count My Fingers with this rookie of a novice they watched happily. High and helpless. Countless sips inside, the rum had started to kick in. The mind, with bags packed for vacation, had almost put the body in autopilot. Muscles loosened, legs reflexed and relaxed, spine eased as he shut his eyes to distractions and funnily focused on how his will was being sabotaged. The effect was almost the opposite of what the puffs had had, or at the most a conflicting corollary. By the time the big last sip approached, technically, he was on a high. The body felt shut down, and the mind on a standby. Control was relinquished. This was better. A new dimension had creeped up between the body and the mind, almost akin to an astral body. The moment had arrived. Oblivious to everything around him, he stood erect on this virtual mountain of happiness, searching feverishly for other mountains around him. He was looking for one in particular, that of spiritual happiness. At last, he saw it. At a distance, it looked smaller. His eyes, now squinted, considered it closely for a stretch of time, judging its strength and size as well as his senses allowed him to. The answer was clear. He smiled. It was higher and stronger. The end.
All right, so Temporary Butterfly. I want to say, for this being a cold read, this was actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I really had to say about this that I didn't possibly like was the fact that she stumbled a little bit in the words. Other than that, it was very good reading. I absolutely loved it. It was good. It was intense. I could tell it was very, very, very intense story.
Yeah, it's a little bit different from those stories we've had earlier tonight where it's been kind of like goofy and whatnot. This was a little bit more serious, and I kind of liked it. I really did.
Yeah.
It gave a nice...
The one thing, though, I do have to say, though, is that you sounded a lot better from the last two seasons that you were on.
Oh, my gosh. She is like our veteran girl right here. This is the one who has trooped through all of the Teller of the Tales. This is the girl. So I'm excited to see you audition. Yeah. So.
All right. So I have nothing else left to say to you.
Nope.
So let's move on. Up next, we have Malt. So take it away whenever you're ready.
Hello, my name is Malt, and I'm going to be auditioning for Teller of the Tales. The book I am reading is called Squids Will Be Squids, Fresh Morals and Beastly Fables. The first story I'm reading is Grasshopper Logic. One bright and sunny day, Grasshopper came home from school, dropped his backpack, and was just about to run outside to meet his friends. "Where are you going?" asked his mom. "Out to meet some friends," said Grasshopper. "Don't you have any homework due tomorrow?" asked his mom. "Just one small thing for history. I did the rest in class." "Okay," said Grasshopper Mom. "Be back at 6 for dinner." Grasshopper hung out with his friends, came home promptly at 6, ate his dinner, and then took out his history homework. His mom read the assignment and freaked out. "Rewrite 12 Greek myths as Broadway musicals. Write music for songs. Design and build all sets. Sew original costumes for each production. How long have you known about this assignment?" asked Grasshopper Mom, trying not to scream.
"I don't know," said Grasshopper.
Moral: there are plenty of things to say to calm a hopping mad Grasshopper Mom. I don't know is not one of them. The next story is Frog's New Shoes. Frog was watching TV one afternoon when he saw a great commercial for new skateboard shoes. The guy in the commercial puts on the new shoes, then 360 kickflips a curb, fake ollies a trash can, and rides a nose grind into the sunset. Frog ran right out and got the shoes. He laced them up and jumped on his board. He tried the 360 kickflip and wiped out. He tried the fake ollie and smashed into the trash can. He tried the nose grind and spread himself on the pavement. Cat skated over and helped him up.
"Nice shoes," said Cat.
"Thanks," said Frog.
Moral: everyone knows frogs can't skateboard, but it's kind of sad that they believe everything they see on TV. The next story is Little Walrus. Little Walrus's mom told her to always tell the truth. One day the phone rang. Little Walrus was the only one home, so she answered it.
"Hello," said Little Walrus.
"Hello, Little Walrus,"
said Whale.
"Is your mom home?"
"No," said Little Walrus. "She's out having the hair taken off her lip."
Moral: you should always tell the truth, but if your mom is out having the hair taken off her lip, you might want to forget a few of the details. The next and last story is Duck-billed Platypus versus Beef Snack Stick.
"I have a bill like a duck and a tail like a beaver," bragged Duck-billed Platypus.
"So what?" said Beef Snack Stick. "I have beef, soy protein concentrate, and dextrose."
"I have webbed feet and fur," said Duck-billed Platypus.
"Who cares?" said Beef Snack Stick. "I also have smoke flavoring, sodium erythorbate, and sodium nitrate."
"I'm one of the only two mammals in the world that lays eggs," said Duck-billed Platypus.
"Big deal," said Beef Snack Stick. "I have beef lips."
Moral: just because you have a lot of stuff, don't think you're so special. That is the end of my audition, and I hope that you enjoyed it.
Alright, so Malt, this was interesting. And before you go like, "Oh my goodness, he said interesting, so that means it was bad, he didn't like it." No, I have mixed feelings about this one. I liked it, yet didn't like it at the same time. The big thing I had about this was it was really quiet. It was very, very quiet.
I could barely hear you.
Yeah,
I had to turn off my volume really loud.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's probably due to mic and all that stuff. So
yeah,
most likely that's all mic issues.
I want to say something.
Yeah.
I like the grasshopper mom. I thought it was cool.
Yeah. But I also have to say, too, as well, that even though you did do, like, multiple different stories, different really short moral stories, you did them very well, and you did them to the point where it was just, like, you know, they were good. I actually wouldn't have minded if you went for, like, 5 minutes doing this. Even though you were, it was evident that you were reading from a book, but you were reading it in such a way that it actually was fun to listen to. It was just fun to hear all these different out of, like, what the heck stories. And, you know, I think this is the first time, like, anybody's really ever done actual read from a book and actually have done pretty good on it. I don't know. What do you think?
I would agree. I really enjoyed it. I thought the stories were cute and adorable. Like I said, I love the grasshopper mom. It was so cute. But I really enjoyed it. It was a bit quiet for me, but I think that was mostly mic and mixing issues probably. But otherwise, I think you did a fantastic job.
Yeah. Yeah, I do have to say that too. So I got nothing else left. You?
Nope.
So let's move on.
Who's our next one?
So the last one, but not least, is Skywish.
The Drum by Alan Schwartz. Once upon a time, there were two sisters. Dolores was 7, and Sandra was 5.
They lived in a beautiful house in the countryside with their mother and their baby brother, Arthur. Their father was a traveling seaman and away on a long voyage. One day, Dolores and Sandra were running across a field near their house when they met a gypsy girl playing a drum. Her family was camping in the field for a few days. As the little girl played, a little mechanical man and a little mechanical woman came out of the drum and danced. Dolores and Sandra had never seen such a drum, and they begged the little girl to give it to them. The gypsy girl smirked, looked at them, and laughed. "Ha! I will give it to you," she said, "but only if you are really bad. Come back tomorrow and tell me how bad you were, and I will see." So as soon as the two sisters got home, they started shouting at the top of their lungs, which was against the rules in their house, of course. They wrote all over the walls with their crayons. At supper, they spilled their food all over the floor. And when it was time for bed, they would not go. They did everything they could possibly think of to upset their mother. They were really bad. Early the next morning, they hurried off to find the little gypsy girl. "We were really bad yesterday," they told her, "so please give us the drum." But when they told her what they had done, the gypsy girl just laughed. "Oh, you must be much worse than that if I am to give you the drum," she said. So as soon as Dolores and Sandra got home, they pulled up all the flowers in their mother's garden. They let the pig out and chased it away. They tore at their clothes. They sloshed through the mud. They were so much worse than the day before. "If you do not stop," their mother said, "I will go away and take baby Arthur with me. And you will get a new mother with glass eyes and a wooden tail." This scared Dolores and Sandra. They loved their mother, and they loved their little brother. They could not imagine being without them, and they began to cry. "I don't want to leave you," their mother said. "But unless you change your behavior, I will have no choice." "We'll be good," the girls promised. Yet still, they did not really believe that their mother would go away. "She's just trying to scare us," Dolores said. "That's all." "Yeah," Sandra agreed. "We'll get the drum tomorrow, and then we can be good again." Early the next morning, they rushed off to find the gypsy girl. When they found her, she was playing the drum, and the little mechanical man and the little mechanical woman were spinning faster than ever. Dolores and Sandra told the gypsy girl how bad they had been the day before. "That must be bad enough to get the drum," they said. The gypsy girl stared at them, smiling. "Oh, no. You must be much, much worse than that." "But we promised our mother to be good from now on," Dolores cried. "If you really want the drum," said the gypsy girl, "you will be much worse." "It's only for one more day," Dolores told Sandra. "Then we will have the drum." "I hope you're right," Sandra said. So, as soon as they got home, they beat the dog with a stick. They broke all of their mother's dishes. They tore all their clothes to pieces and slapped their baby brother, Arthur, right across the face.
Hey! Oh my gosh. So I totally know this story. I heard it elsewhere, and it was a little bit different. Like, in the version I heard, it was like a music box with these two little dolls inside of it. And I totally know what happens in the ending, and it's really creepy. This type of story has always creeped me out ever since when I was a kid. Well, I'm serious. Like, the fact, like, I don't know, whenever someone or something human who has had its, like, own individual thoughts gets transformed into something that's, like, not spoilers, by the way, but, like, not, like, an inanimate object, that just is, it's terrifying, at least to me. It's like the weirdest thing ever, but I think it's the most horrifying thing in the whole entire world. But, oh my gosh, I loved what you did with this. I loved the voices. I loved the energy. I loved the spookiness about it. It really made me stand on edge. I was sitting here, I was just like, oh my gosh. I wanted to message you, Zane, and be like, Zane, this is making me scared.
And I would have laughed.
I know you would have. You're so mean to me.
Yes, I am. I'm very mean.
Yes. He's abusive.
Smack.
Ouch.
But I do have to say, though, this was really good. I absolutely loved it in the beginning. I mean, all of a sudden you were like, debonair when you just said it. It's just, not gonna lie, that sounded hot when you pronounced the title.
Okay, be careful. Dylan is also.
I know. I'm being as careful as possible. I'm just saying that just sounded hot. And I have to say one thing, too. This story is the best of the night so far. Because this was just awesome. Because this was just the full package, the best story I think we have almost ever heard on the show. Almost. I mean, this was just really good.
I heavily enjoyed it. I think that this is a really good... Yeah. I enjoyed all the stories tonight, really. I really did. So, I think this bodes well for the future. So... Is it decision-making time yet?
I think it is time for results.
Dun, dun, dun. I know exactly what I want to do.
yep. Okay, so let's start off with Stratospherius.
Yes.
I'm going to have to go with a yes on this one, too, as well.
Woo! Go.
All right. So next one up is Dylan Collins. I'm going to have to say...
Yes.
Yes. So, welcome, Dylan. Welcome, all.
All right.
And the one right after Dylan is Temporary Butterfly, and I have to say...
Yes.
I'm going to go with yes on this one, too, as well. So, awesome. Congrats.
And so, Malt?
I'm going to have to say, other than the whole
yes.
thing right there, the one thing I had issues with, I'm going to have to say yes.
Yes? Yes! All right. and Skywish?
And Skywish. I mean, I'm going to say no on this one just because I'm just going to stay my ground. Big. No.
Yes.
I'm going to go yes.
Yay. I just wanted everyone to go through tonight. Everyone did such a good yes. job. I really enjoyed everything.
This actually literally has to be the best first episode we've ever had in three seasons.
I really do think so. And I think that if this is what's to come, I think this is probably going to be, this is going to be a blast of a season.
This is
going to
be the best season ever, actually.
The best season of the night.
Best season. I can't really say the best season of the night so far, because that just sounds hot.
Best season of the year so far. Hold on.
Well, this is the first one of the year, so technically, best season ever so far. There we go.
All right. Well then.
So see you guys later, and remember, there will be cake.
Really? Zane, really?
Yes.
You're playing Portal and you just... Yes. No. No.
Yes.
No.
Let there be cake!
All right, everyone. Have a good night.
Yep.